And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today, and thank you so much for listening and watching. It is my pleasure and my honor to sit in this seat and speak to you and have an opportunity to express what God has laid on my heart to you. It is a great privilege, and I do not take it for granted. So thank you so much for supporting me. And I couldn't do it without your support. And thank you for supporting American Family Radio in general, which, as I've said many, many times, I really believe is a gem in a sea of some pretty rough stones out here, folks. A few others, but not many. And when it comes to unadulterated, uncompromising, undiluted proclamation of the truth of God's word and the gospel, this is where it's happening. This is where it's happening. As I've said many times, even other so-called conservative outlets, and I don't mean to be critical of them, but if they're not Christian, it means that their approach to things is not going to be complete. It might be good, but it's not complete. So I won't follow that rabbit trail because that'll take me way off of what I want to talk about. This is a very special program because it comes in the aftermath of Memorial Day. And before I get to that, by the way, let me just mention, I may have mentioned one of them last week, but James Robinson has passed away. I am going to his homegoing service on Thursday. And he was a friend and a great man of God, and he will be missed. But, you know, Jesus said to his disciples when he was preparing to depart, he said, "But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." So praise God. We know that's true for every single one of us when we have to leave here. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And someone else who I'm not sure you're familiar with, but his name is Robert Woodson. He was a dear friend of mine, a man of God, too. He started something called the Woodson Center, I think formerly the Woodson Institute. But it was an organization dedicated to trying to help inner city people caught up in poverty and drugs and gangs and all the stuff, the pathologies that persist in these, what they now call these hoods. They were called the ghetto when I was growing up. And they persisted, of course. My goodness, it's been a long time since I was growing up in the ghetto, but the ghetto's still there, isn't it? And he was one of the people working on bringing an end to it, dedicated to that, as am I, by the way, not on a racial basis, but on a righteousness basis, because that's really the key. The government has spent trillions of dollars trying to solve these problems and has not solved them. In fact, they've made them worse. Robert Woodson was one of those people who was trying to get people to be the agents of their own uplift rather than depending upon the government, rather than depending upon, you know, some bureaucracy parachuting in, depending on their own entrepreneurship, their own sense of personal responsibility, getting an education, taking care of your family, staying out of trouble, doing those things that help you to flourish in life and not doing those things that help you to fail in life and to self-destruct in life. So again, Robert Woodson was also a friend of mine and a great man of God. Both of them will be missed. And be praying for their families, because obviously they leave behind ministries, they leave behind people who love them and will miss them, who they were working with every day or seeing every day. And it leaves a big gaping hole in people's lives. But I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this, folks. Right. And this guarantee is stamped and approved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, those of us in Christ, even if we depart or when we depart, we're going to get together again. It's going to be a great getting up morning, as they say. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. And that is it is a wonderful thought that none of our loved ones who have gone on before us in Christ are separated from us forever. They are only separated from us temporarily. And that is a thing devoutly to be prayed for all of our loved ones especially. I say we don't even want our worst enemy to go to hell. We certainly don't want our loved ones, our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, our sisters and brothers, our aunts and uncles, our nieces and nephews. We certainly don't want them to go to hell. So we need to be praying that they will get a hold of the truth of God's word and the reality of who Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and will submit themselves to him so that they, as Jesus said, Father, I pray that where I am, there they will be also. In other words, where he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I'm sure that those of you listening to me right now, if you're listening to me, the likelihood is you could say, and I am going. I don't have any doubt whatsoever in my mind or heart about it. I am going. But I want everybody else to go. Don't you? Especially the people that I know and love, I want them to go too. So praise God. That's where Bob Woodson is. That's where James Robinson is. By the way, that's where my daddy is. That's where George Washington is. I've often mused, you know, one of these days I'm going to be able to talk to George Washington. You know, that's going to be something else. But of course, and this goes without saying, the one that I most want to see is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one that I most want to see because he's the one who paid the price for our sin and gave us a right to the tree of life. As Charles Wesley sang, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who sent his son, my soul to save, and fit it for the sky. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill, oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. He sent his son, my soul to save, and I'm saved, folks. I trust you are too. You know, I say, you can't just think it, you can't just hope it, you can't just wish it. You got to believe it and then know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ has changed you down on the inside. And when you know that you know, you don't worry about where you're going. You know where you're going. Hallelujah. You don't have any doubt whatsoever. This is what liberals and the left, they don't understand. They don't understand why we true believers, we Christians, we disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ can be such happy warriors. They don't understand. They do not understand it, because what they don't know is we've already won. We already won. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, rejoice, be glad, because I have overcome the world. The world's already defeated. It just doesn't know it. Satan's already done. He's all packaged up for hell. He just won't accept it. And you and I are fit for glory and will shine as the stars forever and ever. And we know it. Okay, look, I didn't expect to get off on that, but I'll tell you what. I'm happy to rejoice in the salvation that the Lord has bought for us. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Every eye will behold him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. and I already know him. And I'm sure you already know him. And aren't you glad? I know I am. And the old song we used to sing in my church, I'll say of the Lord, he is my sword, my shield, my deliverer, strong tower, my ever-present help in the time of need. All right, let me get on to the issue I want to talk about here. We just finished Memorial Day. And I want to point out something that you might never have thought about, but boy, this goes to some really profound things. The people on the left, godless people, can't understand it. I think many people who know God don't understand it because they've never been told it or taught it. So let me just say, we all know that our entire system of government is based upon this foundational truth that liberty and fundamental rights do not come from government and they do not come from human agency. They come from Almighty God. Do you all remember when Tim Kaine, who I often say is probably the dumbest senator in the United States Senate, but he's senator here in Virginia, and oh Lord, help us, deliver us from him. But he said that when he heard, who was speaking? I don't know whether it was, I think it was Pete Hegseth, I think, who said, our liberty and our rights don't come from government. They come from God. And Tim Kaine says, I find that disturbing. I find that disturbing that you would think that because that's the way Iran thinks. And he basically was saying, oh, he didn't like that. And you know, we're all thinking, well, have you never read the Declaration of Independence? Now, forgive me for this quick rabbit trail, but that's why I'm doing the truth tour. I'm doing the truth tour because anybody who listens to an idiot like that, who actually doesn't understand that that's the fundamental premise of our entire governmental system in the United States of America. And this guy's saying, I'm disturbed by that. That's the way Iran thinks. No, that's not the way Iran thinks. And I don't care what Iran says. Because the way they act, all rights, all liberty comes from them, and they can do to you whatever they want to do. It's not the same system. So again, how could you be that stupid and be a lawyer and a United States senator? And by the way, he's a graduate of Harvard Law School, folks. I don't know what to say. I said I went to Harvard Law School. I graduated from Harvard Law School, but I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. He obviously drank it by the gallons, I guess. I don't know. I said, you got to raise his IQ 200 points to get to dumb. Because, you know, he's the person who also said America didn't inherit slavery. America invented it. And I'm thinking to myself, have you read any other books other than the comics in the New York Times? I mean, the Bible makes clear that slavery existed. That's, what, 4,000 years ago when the children of Israel were enslaved. I mean, what? America didn't inherit slavery. Everybody inherited slavery pretty much. Everybody, no matter where it existed. It started very early on in human history and then got passed down. And certainly Americans didn't invent slavery. We, frankly, European migrants to this country and to settling the continent before we were a nation, they learned about slavery on their own continent because Europeans enslaved other Europeans. In fact, the whole serf system was a slave system. But they also learned about African slavery, some of them at least, because the African Muslims who enslaved sub-Saharan Africans, the darker-skinned Africans, they took African slaves into Europe when they controlled the Siberian Peninsula, which we now call Spain, but they controlled it for 700 years. 700 years. They introduced black slaves to Europe. Europe didn't introduce black slaves to Africa. Africa and the African Muslims and the North African Muslims introduced Europe to African slavery. The Barbary pirates were absconding. They were taking over European ships and turning the people who they captured on those ships, turning them into slaves and creating a slave trade in Europeans before there ever was a slave trade of Europeans enslaving Africans. Now, that's just the truth, folks. Now, the Barbary pirates considered any European women that they could capture to be, shall we say, special or unique looking women, because obviously they didn't look like their women, so they thought, oh, they will, that this person will make a special sex slave. And they were often sold into the harems of wealthy Arabs to provide sexual favors for them. Long before anybody talks about Europeans or Americans having sex with Africans who were enslaved, the Africans were using European women to enslave them in harems. Oh boy, now that certainly doesn't fit the narrative, does it? But in the Truth Tour, I'm going to talk about all of that. Now, forgive me, that's a little bit of a rabbit trail I went down, but I went down that rabbit trail to essentially talk about the uniqueness of the American system in that we believe that our liberty comes from Almighty God. So now let me move on to the next logical point I want to make in this, which means if my liberty, your liberty, your liberty doesn't come from me, my liberty doesn't come from you, and our liberty doesn't come from the government, it comes from Almighty God. Well, if our liberty comes from Almighty God, then that means that you and I individually are the ultimate stewards of our own liberty. We are ultimately responsible for the defense and the protection of our own liberty. You see what I'm getting at? Which brings us, of course, immediately to the Second Amendment. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Second Amendment, but which brings us to the Second Amendment, because what the Second Amendment recognizes is the individual right to defend your liberty, to defend your life, to defend your liberty, to defend your property from those who would just willy-nilly take it from you. Whether that be another individual or group of individuals or a tyrannical government. Now, on Memorial Day, we celebrate all of those people to whom you and I have delegated and who have, by the way, accepted by an oath to the Constitution of the United States, accepted the responsibility for defending our liberty in situations and circumstances where we cannot. Our liberty is right now threatened by Iran because they'd love to drop a nuclear weapon on us. Who are these leftists? Who are they kidding when they're defending Iran? Do they realize Iran would wipe them out just like they wipe all of us out if they could? I mean, these Iranian mullahs would. Well, I can't pack up and go to Iran and stop Iran from developing a nuclear weapon and stop Iran from exporting terrorism that might kill me or kill my wife or kill any one of us in any given situation where they've planted somebody who's going to detonate a suicide bomb or run airplanes into a building or drive a truck into a crowd, whatever it happens to be. You and I have delegated to the military, the responsibility for defending us and defending our liberty in ways that we cannot as individuals. But here's the thing, folks. Here's what I want you to see. It is a delegated responsibility, and it is personal. See, most Americans haven't thought of it this way. God gave me liberty. You put on a uniform and you take an oath to the Constitution to defend not only your liberty, but my own at the risk of your life. That's personal. I owe you a debt of gratitude for your willingness to do that. And I do not take that for granted. The graveyards across the world are spotted with the gravestones, in some cases unmarked graves, of primarily men, but even some women, who gave their lives fighting for this nation's liberty, fighting to keep us from ever being under the thumb of some brutal dictator. And to every one of those people, Memorial Day is about saying to every one of those people, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to take that responsibility upon yourself, and thank you for your willingness to give your life for that duty. You know, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we are the friends that they have laid their lives down for. Each one, personally and individually. That this, as Abraham Lincoln said, that this nation conceived and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator. I don't think he finished that in the Gettysburg Address, but that was the rest of it, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And he said, now we are in a contest to see whether any such nation can long endure. In other words, can that nation, dedicated to the proposition that God gave us liberty and equality before him, can any such nation long endure? And I say it depends upon the willingness of every single individual to stand up for what that nation represents. And if we will, we will endure. And if we don't, we won't endure. Now, while you and I are expressing gratitude to all of our military people, by the way, to those who've gone on to their ultimate reward, to those who maybe are still serving, but those who are veterans who served in active duty, some in combat, but they're still here and they're still grateful to God for the service that they had, that the ability they had to serve their country. They're proud of what they were able to do for their country. And then there are those who are on active duty right now. I mean, some of them, they can't predict whether they will live or die through that service. What they know is that they are dedicated to fulfilling it. And we owe a debt of gratitude to every single one of them. Now, while you and I are celebrating our liberty and are celebrating these valiant men, and again, even some women under different circumstances most of the time not in combat, but under some circumstances have lost their lives defending our country. We've got another group of people that I call useful idiots who seem to be doing just the opposite. Who was it who said last week, it'll come to me, who said last week, I'm not celebrating July 4th. Why should I celebrate July 4th? And I mean, it was that old stupid Colin Kaepernick nonsense. It wasn't Colin Kaepernick in this case. He's already said that. This is somebody else. I think it was somebody on some talk show or something. I'm not celebrating. Why should I celebrate the independence? Useful idiots. So just in the last few days, you've had Bernie Sanders, along with this other complete and total excuse for a human being, Graham Plattner, you know, the guy with the SS tattoo on his chest, the guy who ridiculed another veteran and thought he should have died because he didn't think he, I mean, is this guy, and the Democrats just love him. The Democrats just love him. But they're on the stage of it. America doesn't need this. America doesn't need that. What America needs is, you know what they say? America needs a revolution. And they might have put political revolution, but revolution always implies a violent overthrow of one form of government to create another. We need a political revolution. That's the language that they're using. See, this is where liberty comes back to us as individuals, because Graham Plattner and Bernie Sanders are not taking my liberty. And I trust they're not going to take yours either. Now, I am in no way am I in any way even hinting at, let alone encouraging violence. I'm not saying that. But when you start talking about a revolution, I'm going to let you know I'm against it. And however you bring it, I will fight it. If you bring it on peaceful, political, rhetorical terms, I will fight it on peaceful, political, and rhetorical terms. But if you bring it with violence, I'll fight it with violence. I'm not looking to be violent with anybody. I'm not looking to hurt anybody. I'm not looking to harm anybody. I'm not looking to kill anybody because they disagree with me or they don't like me. No. I'm just saying, when you start using that kind of rhetoric, instead of honoring the liberty that these people fought for and died for, you are instead calling for a political revolution. In other words, from your perspective, they fought and died for nothing because you don't even agree with what they fought and bled and died for. I mean, this stuff is just exasperating. And AOC, did you hear her recent comment? AOC says Northerners are going to have to pull up to the South. Now, folks, that may be strange language to some of you, but it is slang for fighting people. Pull up to the South. What? What does that mean? Northerners ought to get together and go march and wherever you, when you get to a southern state, what, start shooting people? I mean, what are you saying? These people are always talking about the right-wing haters. And they're the ones who use this incendiary language. We've got to have a revolution, and we got to pull up to the South. What? I don't hear any persuasion. I don't hear any, come let us reason together. Let me explain to you why we think what we're trying to do is going to be better for everybody. I don't hear that. I just hear all this empty, stupid, bordering on violent rhetoric, in spite of the fact that even just this past weekend in D.C., you had another shooter shooting at the White House. I mean, what is wrong with these people? Well, I mean, that's a rhetorical question. We know what's wrong with them. They're full of the devil. That's what's wrong with them. Bernie Sanders, Graham Plattner, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all of them, they're full of the devil. Now, there's just no more succinct way to say it. I dare say they're demon-possessed, because Satan is pulling their strings. Here's the person. It was a congressional candidate. A congressional candidate in California. Well, of course, crazy California. By the way, she is a Vietnamese. And you remember what we did for the Vietnamese people? Remember the lives we lost? Remember what we did when the communists took over South Vietnam, and we allowed the boat people to come to our country and gave them brand new lives, allowed them to live and thrive? This woman is a descendant of one of those people, obviously, but she won't recite the American flag, and when she sees a flag, she turns her back on the flag. The very flag that all of those gravestones represent of all of those men who died fighting under that flag. And she won't respect it. She won't honor it. She won't say a Pledge of Allegiance, and she turns her back on it in dishonor and disrespect. Now, I began by saying, you and I are the ultimate stewards of our own liberty. Because here's what we need to understand, and these folks, I don't know whether they get this or not, because, again, the devil's just got them so twisted up. I know they think they're seeing straight. We are not. But the devil's just got them so twisted up that I don't know what they see and what they don't see. I do know this. Again, everything God is for, they're against, and everything God is against, they're for. That's, you can just summarize it in that way. But I don't know whether they realize that these things that they are saying are a direct attack on you and me. They're a direct attack on our liberty. Because as the stewards of our own liberty, ultimately, when they start telling people that we have no liberty and that what we think we have is certainly not worth fighting and dying for, they put all of our liberty at risk, because as Ronald Reagan said, freedom is only one generation from extinction. We do not pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and passed on to them to do the same. Or we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children about the United States of America, where we were once free. And these people are doing everything in their power to pass on a legacy of tyranny, a legacy of totalitarianism, a legacy of complete and total government control over everything and everybody. And you and I, as ultimate stewards of our liberty, have got to be willing to stand up for it. Now, once again, not with violence, not with bloodshed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking a stand for what is right. Now, again, once I said that, I started out saying this notion, this truth, certainly calls up the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment says is you have a right to defend your own liberty against whoever would encroach upon it. Mayor Jacob Fry, and again, boy, folks, I don't mean to throw the word idiot around, but I tell you, it certainly is apropos for these people. He gets up, and instead of talking about these fallen heroes and these veterans who gave their all fighting for our country, he makes a tribute to George Floyd on Memorial Day. George Floyd. I mean, look, George Floyd was a human being. I didn't hate George Floyd. I don't hate him. But George Floyd was a criminal. He was a meth head. He was a fentanyl addict. And he was passing counterfeit money. Hardly the stuff of heroes. Hardly deserves to be mentioned, does not deserve to be mentioned in the same breath as a Michael Mansour, a posthumous Medal of Honor winner, who gave his life by jumping on a grenade in order to save his team members who didn't see it. What grenade did George Floyd jump on for anybody? George Floyd was too busy jumping on fentanyl and meth and too busy jumping on counterfeit money to try to get some more money to do whatever he wanted to do, whatever negative thing he wanted to do. Now, I'm not saying George Floyd did not deserve to die the way he died. There's no question about that. Well, however you view it, whatever the complications were with regard to the drugs that were in his system and his heart and all that, but still, he did not deserve to have Derek Chauvin, I think the guy's name is, leaning on his neck that way. He didn't deserve that. And he certainly didn't deserve to die under those circumstances. But he doesn't deserve a statue either. Because once again, he brought that circumstance upon himself. No, he didn't deserve what he got. But folks, I say this all the time. If you think you're going to fight the police, or if you think you're going to get aggressive or resist arrest or whatever, that's not going to end well for you. I'm not saying you deserve to die, but look, these are chaotic, difficult, tense situations, and there's no telling what's liable to happen without anybody's ill intentions. Because they're volatile situations. I've never had a negative interaction with a police officer. Never. And you know why? Because I'm not out committing crimes. And I'm not cursing at the police. And I'm not being belligerent with them. If they ask me a question or they pull me over, they don't get any of that out of me. I've never had any problems. I respect that man or that woman's authority. So look, I'm in no way saying George Floyd deserved to die. All I'm saying is, it is one thing to be a victim of someone's misconduct, but one has to take into consideration what the victim does to put themselves in harm's way. Now, had he gotten another police officer dealing with him, who knows? Outcome probably would have been very different. But he didn't. Because he put himself in the... You know what it reminds me of? It's like when I first started practicing law, one of the things my professors and more experienced lawyers will always say to me, if you can avoid landing your client in court, do it. Because once you get into court, the matter is no longer in your hands. It's now in the hands of a judge. And there's no telling what's liable to happen. So try to negotiate. Try to compromise. Try to get the best deal you can for your client, whatever the circumstance. Because once you bring it in front of the judge, you may find yourself in a circumstance you never expected you would be, because you don't know what that judge might do. It's the same thing. Once you put yourself in the clutches of the criminal justice system, you don't know what the outcome might be. Because there are all kinds of variables and you just never know. But I don't know. Jacob Fried, he didn't want to honor Michael Mansour. He didn't want to honor the brave men and women. He did come back later because people jumped all over him. Oh yeah, and them too. George Floyd and them too. It is a sad situation that we are in, that we have people who are American citizens who hate this country so much, who have such disdain for it and such bitterness against it, that they don't even want to acknowledge the people who gave their lives to allow us to enjoy the freedom and the opportunity we now enjoy in the United States of America. It's sad. Memorial Day, we should be honoring those people who, as Abraham Lincoln said, gave their last full measure of devotion. Those people who, as the song says, America, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. We got to be celebrating them. not bringing up George Floyd and not talking about calling for a revolution or telling Northerners you need to pull up on the South. I mean, what? Lord, help us, please. And I'm serious, folks. We need to pray. God, help us. Deliver us from these wicked, twisted, bitter, angry, ungrateful people. You know, it reminds me of the scripture I just read it on Sunday. It's in 2 Timothy. Hold on, folks. Let me pull up that message. It's in 2 Timothy. The exact site is escaping my mind at the moment. But I'm sure you will. You probably already know what scripture I'm talking about. Oh my goodness, I know it's here. But it says, in the last days, here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. So that, see, it says men will be. So these are grown men. Disobedient to parents in what way? They will ignore everything their parents tried to teach them. Even people from good homes where their parents taught them the right things, they will disobey that. They don't want to hear. Because the whole social construct, the culture, is telling, don't pay any attention. Don't pay any attention to your stupid father, your stupid mother. They believe all that Bible stuff, and they believe in God and all that. That stuff is antiquated. That's out of date. Don't pay any attention to that. They'll be unthankful. See, I said, we ought to be grateful to God for these military people. Grateful to God for this wonderful country God has given us. But they're unthankful. Unthankful. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, traitors. People don't even have loyalty to our country. I mean, I believe we have a president who, I'm not saying legally treasonous, but in the spirit, spiritually speaking and morally speaking, traitors to the country. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And folks, that is exactly where we are right now. We've got to pray for our country. We've got to pray some imprecatory prayers that God would allow confusion and chaos to reign in, not in the streets of our city, but in the assemblies of these wicked people when they're getting together to concoct their wicked schemes. And we just read it I have a discipleship class once a month at church called The Bible and Bishop, where I, teach from a variety of sources. But we were talking about this issue of people being haughty and headstrong and wanting to Pride Month. We got to have Pride Month. And you know, we want to celebrate whatever we think is matters to us. They're so caught up in self they can't see straight. And if we allow them to, they will lead the country into the abyss. Now, you know, our church has a threefold mission: to save souls, save families, and save the nation. That's it. And does anybody doubt that all three are in desperate need of redemption right now? All these kids out there wilding and doing these takeovers and fighting cops and and sucker punching people and hitting people and destroying property and busting up windows and denting cars. We have one in Chicago just this past weekend, took his car and hit 5 police officers. 5. This is the result of conjunction with Satan. And the people who revel in that are the same people who want the country to be modeled after that. That's why they don't want to punish anybody, because they like that. They like the chaos. They like the disorder. I mean, after all, if you want the slaves to do your bidding, give them a little latitude. Let them have some fun. And you can rein them in when the time comes. Say, now here, vote this way. Because we're the ones who keep you out of jail for acting a fool. And we're the ones who feed you when you don't want to work. So here, you make sure you protest when we tell you, riot when we tell you, vote when and how we tell you, and we'll take care of you. So, Lord, introduce chaos into their ranks. I was going to say, so on Sunday we were studying Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I think it begins somewhere around verse 14 and runs through to verse 23, 24, 25, but in there, where Jehoshaphat confronts the people of Mount Seir, the people of Ammon, and the people of Moab, and they're an overwhelming army, and he doesn't know what to do, and God tells him to set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And as they are setting themselves and standing still, and basically getting on the battlefield. You can't retire from the battlefield. You got to be in it. But they began to praise and worship God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you. We love you. Blessed is the Lord God. His mercy endures forever. And as they did that, the armies turned on each other and began to attack each other. And they destroyed the army themselves, and the rest ran off and left 3 days of spoils for the children of Israel to go through. Clothing, food, other materials. My point in all this, folks, we have to pray that God will introduce that kind of confusion to the ranks of the wicked, so that instead of being busy trying to get at us, trying to get somebody like me, they turn on each other. Not to kill each other. That was an army situation, but just to basically be unable to make any progress. That's what God just did for this horrible referendum that they passed in Virginia. God wiped that thing out in one fell swoop. And I'm grateful. I prayed for it. We ought to all be praying for our country and praying that God will intervene and put a stop to the mess. Because without his intervention, without God's presence, we can forget it. We're doomed. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But praise God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we've got to assert ourselves. We've got to take a stand. God didn't tell the children of Israel, okay, well, you all go home, go to sleep. I got it here. I got it. He said, no, set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he had them sing praises. You know, had them go out, take the battlefield, singing the praises of God. And the enemy ended up not knowing which way was up. And I believe that's what God will do for us here in Virginia and in every blue state in this Commonwealth until this country is turned back toward God, which is what we are praying for, what we want. The whole country to turn toward God. And these little weak, ridiculous ideas that the left has come up with will be cast under the dung heap of history, never to rise and trouble us again. And we'll only see it in our hindsight, saying, in our rearview mirror, saying, I can't believe that people actually thought that. I can't believe it. Because people will be so clear-eyed. We've won already. We cannot lose heart. Now, I know you may think, well, yeah, wow, you do sound pretty exasperated. Yeah, I'm exasperated because, in part, frankly, I believe the body of Christ can put a stop to this, and we don't. We don't seek to exercise not only our natural power, the power to vote, the power to get active, the power to be involved, but we don't exercise our supernatural power, prayer, confessing the word, believing God to work miracles of victory for us and defeat for the enemy. Because nobody and nothing can defeat Almighty God. He is El Shaddai, the full rested one, and he is Jehovah Nissi, our victory. He cannot be defeated. That's why we cannot be defeated. All right, well, God bless everybody. I've got to go. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.